Hey, our scripture today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 34 to 40. I'm going to pray. Let's pray first. Lord, we thank you for your love, your great and glorious love, and your show of mercy in our lives, even at this moment. We ask you, Lord, that you share with us only that which you want us to have. You open up our hearts and minds to receive it in such a way that changes or challenges us. We thank you, Lord. And we pray that anything that is not of you is forgotten, but that which is from you stays with us for always, so that we may love in a way that pleases you in our lives. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, Matthew chapter 22. Move this right now. Matthew 22:34 to 40. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" And he said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hangs all the law and the prophets." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The sermon title today is Individualism and Community. Now, I was asked to do a sermon on a particular topic called the five love languages. How many of you have heard about the five love languages? Anyone here? Anyone on Zoom? There's a couple on Zoom. Five love languages. Five Love Languages is a book written by a man named of Gary Chapman. Gary Chapman had a theory that people experience love in different ways. Yeah, let me phrase it. People receive love in a whole sense, in a very sincere sense, differently than what other people do. And that's in the languages. And he's thought that there were five. Now, 2 weeks ago, we talked about love in general, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and how important love is. And it's true that we should love everyone. And chapter 13 shows us what that love looks like. It's patient, love is kind, love never gets angry, it's not jealous or boastful, all that kind of stuff. Gary Chapman, again, this isn't a Christian book per se, but it is important to us as Christians to understand what he's trying to say in this. Gary Chapman says that there are only a few types of love that I can really kind of appreciate and absorb in my own life. Those five love languages are gifts. If your love language is gifts, that means when someone gives you something, a gift, a necklace, a ring, flowers, it touches your heart. You're extremely appreciative of it, and you are so thankful for it. In fact, not just those things are important to a person who enjoys receiving gifts, but say your loved one goes for a walk in the woods, and they see on the ground a leaf that for whatever reason reminds them of you. And so they come home from that walk and they bring this leaf home and they give it to you. And they said, "This leaf reminds me of your love, your beauty, your eyelashes, whatever." That person, if gift giving is their language, they get that. They love it. They cherish it. They're the kind of person who takes that leaf and presses it inside of their favorite book and never lets it go. You may know someone like that. You may have done things like that. Another love language is quality time. that a person just loves to have the person that they love around them. They love going on dates. They love sitting down and watching TV together. They love reading a book in bed together, or sitting on the porch looking at the cars go by. Not a word has to be exchanged or shared, just the time with that person that they appreciate. So gifts, quality time, acts of service. A person who has acts of service as their love language loves it when the people who are close to them in their lives do things for them. Cook dinner, clean the house, read a book to them, massage their feet or their shoulders, or rub their scalp. Acts of service, washing the dog without being told, picking up the poop in the yard without being told. These things mean something to that person whose love language is acts of service. What do I got here? I got gifts. I got quality time. I got acts of service. Touching. Person whose love language is touching loves to hold hands. If they go to the mall and they're walking with their person who's important to them, they enjoy holding hands. Hugs are important. One of my favorite stories about a couple whose love language was touching, both of them. They lived in an apartment. They've been married for 65 years, and they lived in a small apartment. Whenever one person went up into the kitchen, which was very tiny, the other person would follow them into the kitchen just to and pretend to have something that they needed in the kitchen, just for an excuse to walk by them and brush them on their way past. Because that brush across the shoulders or the leg is important to them, to show them that they love one another. Those whose love language is touch, if you're sitting in the car with them, they love it when you put your hand on their thigh. The last love language is words of encouragement. Words of encouragement can be, I love you. It could be, you look great today. You're beautiful. You did a good job. I love the kind of father, wife, brother, sister you are. The world is blessed because of your presence. All of these things go straight to the heart of the person whose love language is words of encouragement. Now, I've read this book. Stephanie and I both went through this book early on in our marriage. And what we have found is that our two love languages, because most people have a primary and a secondary love language. What I have found is that my primary love language is, sometimes I don't know. They do change for me. Touch and or words of encouragement. I think I would maybe say words of encouragement a little more, but I'm not sure. Touch is also very important. So I'm the kind of person who, when I'm in the car, if Stephanie reaches over and touches my leg while we're driving, or my arm, which is on the armrest, I love it. That's so important to me, and it means so much. It reminds me that she loves me. I hear that. It's really nice when you're in a relationship with someone, a spouse whom you love, some sort of relationship, that your love languages overlap with one another. Because one of Gary Chapman's theories is that the love language that you receive best, I receive words of encouragement, touching, are also the love languages that you love in best. Because mine is words of encouragement and touching. When I show love naturally to Stephanie, I say things like, you're beautiful. That you're the best mother that my kids could ever want or desire. You're a wonderful wife. The world is blessed at your very existence. I say this to her all the time. It's very easy for me to say this because I also want to hear things like this. One of the challenges becomes is that when I say I love you to her, sometimes I say it in form of a question. I want to hear that back. You know, so I'm really trying hard on that. Or I touch her. When we go to the mall, I grab her hand as we're walking, because I touch and I like that. And I think that it's a sweet thing. And like I said, when you marry someone and you're with someone, it's nice when those things overlap. Stephanie's two love languages are quality time and acts of service. We do not overlap. If I hold Stephanie's hand in the mall and she allows me to hold her hand for 45 seconds, I know that she really does love me, because that's all the longer she could stand. So that's not her love language, and that's okay. When we first got married, her love language, still, is acts of service and quality time. So you're gonna hear me say something very chauvinistic, and I apologize right now. She still busts her butt to make sure that house is clean, the dogs are taken care of, we're taken care of. She works so hard around the house, picks up the poop, takes dogs for the walk, cleans dishes, all that kind of stuff. And it's nice. I like a clean house. I like when other people do it, especially. And so when I saw her do this, I just took it as a matter of, well, she's just doing the womanly thing. That's my chauvinistic moment, if you didn't catch that. She's just doing the womanly thing, taking care of the house. I didn't thank her for it. I didn't compliment her on it. Because that's just what I felt she had to do. But when she was doing this out of the love of her heart for her family, out of the care that she has for me and for the dogs and for all that God has placed in her life. And I failed to miss it. No, I succeeded in missing it. I failed to notice it, because my love language is not works of service. Yeah. When I see works of service, I see things that just need to get done. When she does works of service, she does it out of the bottom of her heart. Quality time is another one. Just likes hanging out together, watching TV together, me sitting next to her and rubbing her feet. They all mean so very much to her, much more than they mean to me. And so in our scripture that we read today, love the Lord your God with all your heart is one of the first acts of love that Jesus says we need to show in our lives. And it's a very individualistic act. We need to know how it is that we love best in our lives. Again, mine are words of encouragement and touch. And so my love for God is seen in those ways the best. One of my favorite ways that I love to connect with God is praying to God. And my prayers don't often start with, Dear Heavenly Father. Oftentimes the way I start my prayers with God when I'm driving in the car and no one is around is, Lord, what were you thinking? And then we have a conversation. I love talking to God. I love thanking God for all that's happening, asking God what's going on, all this stuff. And we just have conversations together. My other love is touch. So I love experiencing God through church, through the lives of other people. I love people watching, because I get to see God's love and influence in strangers' lives. That experience and that touch of God's presence. Knowing what your love language is and how it is that you love will help you find ways that you can love God in a way that's most natural to you. But for Gary Chapman, that was just one part of love. That was, as this woman in the screen is getting off of the bus, that's just the beginning of love. Understanding how you love and how you feel love is only the beginning. For Gary Chapman, one of the important parts of love is also understanding that other people love differently. And that's okay. You see, if I need to show Stephanie that I love her, in a way that she can understand, telling her, I love you and you're beautiful, it's nice. She appreciates that. Who wouldn't appreciate that? But if I really want her to know, if I really want her to understand, I need to go wash the pots without her telling me to. If she's at work one day and she comes home and the dishes are done and the countertops are washed off and the poop is picked up and the dogs are taken care of and the kids are fed, oh my goodness, she is in ecstasy. She knows that I love her greatly because I spoke her language. And she understands that that's not easy for me. It's not my first language. In Gary Chapman's book, and especially in the Bible and the scripture that we read, individualism and community is not a black and white dichotomy. They're not separate. They're together. We need to know who we are and how we love and how God has created us to love, but also we need to listen for how other people love. Jesus says, and that the second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. The thing is that we can go out to our neighbor and love in our own language and they could miss it because they might not speak that language. They can understand that we care, but to truly, deeply love somebody, a spouse, a child, a friend, a neighbor, even an enemy, to truly, deeply be able to love them, we need to first get to know them. We need to listen. We need to hear. We need to understand where it is they're coming from, how it is they love, what it is they've experienced. We need to put ourselves aside. Be there for them. That's that community. God uses us and our individualism and who we are in order to love other people. But we're not islands. We're part of a community, part of a culture together. So as a church, if we want to love those around us, we also need not just know who we are, but also listen to who Trafford is. To listen to who our neighbors are. Listen to those who are around us are. And through the power and love that Christ has given us, to love them in a way that they know best, so that they can truly know that they are loved. It's a challenge that Chapman has given to us, and especially that Jesus has given to us, because it takes us out of ourselves and challenges us to be in the lives of others, all while holding Christ's hand through it all. And I thank God for that. Let's close with this benediction. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful today and always. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Go in peace.